Academic Aesthetic for Friday, October 22nd, 2010. I have no idea what number this is because it's been a very long while since I recorded a podcast for Academic Aesthetic that I've actually kept. I recorded a few recently, and I sat on them for a little while and decided, you know what, I'm just going to delete them. I've fallen out of practice for recording unscripted podcasts, and I sort of want to try to get back into that for a variety of reasons. So, here we go. I have been forced to think a lot recently about connectivity. I say forced because in my particular building, the intranet has gone down in several rooms, including all of the second floor, one of the kindergarten classrooms, and my computer lab. I say intranet because there are other rooms that can connect to the outside world just fine, but there's other rooms where you plug into that plug in the wall, you can't even print to a network printer. It's the connections that are inside the building that are going kind of haywire, and they are being worked on. The people who are in charge of fixing them are doing their best, but, well, I'm on my way to work right now. If it's not fixed, this will be day 3 of teaching technology classes without the use of the internet. Now, this can be done. It's how I was taught when I was taking my technology classes in middle school. However, it's trickier now than it was then. We've come to be very reliant on the internet when it comes to all kinds of things. It's just expected nowadays, to the point where the way our computers are set up, if you've never used a particular computer before in my county where I work, when you first go in to log in, you put your username and your password in, it connects to the internet to make sure you have a valid username and password. And if it sees that, then it lets you log in for as long as that profile remains on that computer. Well, if you are in a class with assigned seats when the internet goes down, chances are you've used that computer before, you can use it again. If you are a class that has reserved the computer lab for a day and you're coming in and you're all sitting in different spots, well, that gets to be a problem. There might be 2 or 3 of you that used to sit there before in another class, and you can use the computers. The rest of you get to stare at a login screen for the entire class period, which is not that exciting. The internet can be a replacement technology and a disruptive technology. And both of those kinds of technologies have good points and bad points. There are a lot of people who would say internet is a disruptive technology. In some cases, it's not. I should probably explain what the two are. It's been a while since I've talked about this. A replacement technology is you're replacing one thing with another thing, but really, they're kind of interchangeable. You might have more features. One would hopefully be better than the other, but they're essentially the same thing. If you replace a pencil with a pen, or vice versa, you are replacing a technology. It can be used the same way, so far as, okay, here you go, take some notes. A disruptive technology changes your whole way of doing things. Not just, okay, well, I have a pencil in my hand, or I have a pen in my hand. An example of a disruptive technology, with the advent of digital communication and digital copies of things, you can make an infinite number of copies for very little cost. In some cases, the cost is just time and space on a hard drive, where you just duplicate a file and now you've got another one just like it. So there's whole industries, I could point out the music industry and the movie industry in particular, where they're based on copies being a limited supply commodity, and they don't want any copies made. Now, with the way copyright laws are right now, that is their choice to do that. I'm not railing against these industries, I'm just pointing this out. There are some people who make a decent living for themselves in the music industry, and for that matter, in the industry of writing novels in some cases, where they understand that things can be infinitely copied. So they use that to their advantage. One example is there's a musician by the name of Jonathan Colton. He gives most of his music away for free on his website. He puts it under a Creative Commons license. You can share it, just don't sell it. And he's okay with that. He uses that as a method of free advertising, and people still go to his site, they still buy his stuff, they still go to his concerts, and he makes enough money to support a family of four right now. So he's doing pretty good for himself. In any case, Jonathan Colton, he's embracing the idea of digital media, making infinite copies, spreading around to make money. There's other industries that see that disruptive technology. They don't want it to be disruptive. They have a business model. It was working. And why does this technology have to change that? Now, a replacement technology, you can still get dependent on it. If you switch all of your pencils for pens, and then your pens stop working because they're out of ink, oh my gosh, that's horrible. Well, we could use a pencil. No, we don't have any more pencils. We were planning for pens. This isn't going to work. Okay, I'm kind of stretching that analogy a little further than it should be, but you can get the idea. In this case, all of my warm-ups are on a blog. All of my rubrics and lesson plans are on a blog. My students can't access that unless I let them use their phones. So, the blog was a replacement technology for me just writing things on the board or giving them a handout. But it has totally replaced those things. And therefore, when the internet goes down, I'm kind of stuck. Unless I think of something a little more creative. Now, fortunately, the internet's not down in all rooms, so I've done things like take my laptop over to another classroom, plug in to use the internet there, get everything on that computer real quick, then bring it back over to my room before the students show up and have that ready to go. That doesn't give them a copy that they can have too, at least not while they're in the classroom. But it at least lets me put something up on the screen. I printed out some stuff that needed to be printed out, taped that up to the board so they could fill out forms that needed to be filled out. Our warm-up, they were supposed to do a blog post that said the good thing and bad thing. This is yesterday's warm-up. The good thing and bad thing about having them pick their own podcast topics, one sentence on each. Just a warm-up. I wasn't expecting a whole lot of work from this. Well, you can't post to a blog without the internet. So, basically, as each student was walking in the door, I had this stack of post-it notes. I gave each of them a large yellow post-it note and said, okay, your warm-up is up here. I had retyped it to say, on a yellow post-it note, write one sentence about the exact same warm-up. But they were writing it on a post-it note instead, so I can go through the post-it notes and read all their answers. And I just stuck all the post-it notes together in a stack so I could grade them later. Post-it notes, that's a replacement technology, who'd have thought? My third graders, we were going to be working on making our own textbook, which is a project that I intend to be doing throughout the year with my older elementary students. We've been doing the vocabulary, we've been doing the glossary, and that's been working fairly well. I decided to switch gears a little bit. I was kind of inspired to do this, where we are reinforcing the vocabulary they're covering in their reading unit by writing a script. Now, we can't have them all writing on the computers together, so we have a master editor for this, but they all get to see the writing process. They get to point out if there's a typo, and we can make revisions, and they can see the writing process in action as a demonstration, and they still have a sense of empowerment because they're the ones coming up with the words for the script. The kids are really liking it. But again, this is something that I could have just done by having someone write on the board, or by giving someone a notebook. Things get changed when a technology you're relying on goes away. And fortunately for me, for a lot of what I do, I'm constantly thinking of plan Bs. What if this doesn't work? What else can I do? I had two or three options that I could do for each of my classes. Currently, my middle schoolers are working on podcasting, as I mentioned. Audacity has been installed on all the computers in the lab already, so I didn't need to worry about, oh, they won't be able to record. Now, they can't upload their podcast yet. Hopefully, that'll be fixed soon, so they will be able to upload it. The podcast weren't due today anyway, so that's not too big a deal. their animation project was due on Wednesday, the first day the internet was down. I told them they could hand it in today. Hopefully they'll be able to. So we'll see how that goes. If not, well, they'll be handing it in next week. Okay, I think that's enough of a brain dump for today. In conclusion, I would just say, have a plan B ready. Don't rely on the technology so much that you can't do anything without it. Even if the technology is so cool that you don't want to work without it, have that plan B ready. Even if you never use that plan B, just hold on to it, because Murphy was an educator. And if something can go wrong with your lesson, it will go wrong. And you might even be observed during it. Not me, however. My observation went fanatically well. Okay, if you want to give me some feedback, you can do so by going to academicaesthetic.com. If you don't know how to spell that, you are part of 50% of the English-speaking world. Just put it into Google. You'll probably see that as one of the top links in Google if you type in academic aesthetic. You can email me at theartguy@gmail.com, or you can write your own blog post and link to me, and that blog post can be a response to me, and I will probably get that as a ping back, and I'll see it, and I will be able to respond that way. Until next time, whenever that is, hopefully I'm going to be getting back on the ball recording these. Stay subscribed. Thank you for staying subscribed. It's been, I don't know how long since I did put something out, and fare thee well.